Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Brilliant, Alan. Sat in the car, got a nice whiskey that arrived during the week. So got that on ice because, believe it or not, it's 40 degrees in April.
It's wild, isn't it?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Had a win in the basketball grand final on Monday, so flying high.
Yeah,
another victory under the belts, still getting it done at 35, which is pretty nice. And I've got one more day of work left and then 10 days off. So I'm up and about.
Yeah, you should be. That's huge.
Very, very excited about that. Yeah, and the weather's just wild. I feel like it was last week you were saying, oh, you know, think good things are coming. And I hadn't looked at it. I was like, mate, we're done here. Like, what are you talking about? But we're not done here. And the weekend's going to be nice too. So I'm going to try to sneak out on Friday for Llewellyn because it's going to be nice Friday and then maybe start raining on Saturday. So, yeah, man, just up and about. This is a good time right now.
Absolutely.
I want to give a couple of shout outs because I have received a couple challenges for basketball prowess, which
Beautiful.
Is very, very nice. So going to have to tee that up at some stage. Who is it? Ash Brookers for sure. And man, who was the other one? I can't remember. I got in my messages somewhere, but they were like, "Yeah, we might have to tee up a little 1v1." I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it, let's go." So,
oh, so good.
I love it that I'm getting a call out. So that's pretty cool. That's good. We got to play Bendigo together on the weekend, which is very nice. And then you popped out again today with Dazzaman. So. It was my first time seeing the changes and yeah, everything sounded pretty good from exactly what you had said. So that was really cool. I loved it. That new three is so cool. That new t-shirt off hole three is sick. Like it's worth coming just for that.
Yeah.
And then the other changes late were good as well. So they got rid of the only real dinker hole that the course had. And, another one that was kind of easy is sort of less easy. So, yeah, overall, definitely a little harder than it traditionally plays. So, very cool. You shot an egg three, right? And we put it out on socials to ask what people think that would rate. Do we get many replies?
Yes, we got only a couple of replies. We had a 9.55 and a 9.35.
Okay, the 9.35 is a moron.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, and like, well, I wonder if they've split the difference there. I wonder if it's, I wonder if 9.45 is a chance. But no, I think somewhere between 9, like I said, I always said between 9.35 and 9.45.
For neg 3?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was for neg 3, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Get out of here.
How's me knowing? All right. Let me have a look at what the answers were. The answers were, 9.55 from Marlon, and then who's this?
Penn.
This is great.
If it's Dharma, it'll be Penn. He's probably thinks it's easy.
No, it was Zach. Hit us up. He's like, looks about right. Imagine if you were on fire from C2, might have been 10.20.
Yeah.
I had a lot of C2 looks.
Instead of zero from 15.
Yeah.
There you go. I didn't fare so well. I'm pretty glad you didn't put mine out there, but I guess I'm going to air my dirty laundry anyway. So I shot a +3, which didn't feel great in the morning. No birdies, and I might not even had a birdie look, to be honest. I can't remember. And I threw pretty good for most of it, so that was concerning for me. and then we played again, did another lap, and got a silly little out of bounds early, which cost me a bogey, but a couple early birds, and I was like, all right, never mind, this ain't that bad. And then I went on to really shit the bed pretty hard, so end up with a +5, took a double bogey on an easy par 4, and I think I just started getting cranky and tired and had to get put down for a nap. So yep. I'm gonna try to just ignore that, but 2 rounds over par for me in a row, not ideal prep. So I'm definitely gonna have to get out there again and build a little bit of confidence, and yeah, hopefully some nice form from Llewellyn will bleed into something good next week. I'll have to time it around the rain and when Steph Curry is going to be playing in the NBA Finals. So very, I got a very important things they've got to manage.
Yes, you do.
But I'm very keen to get out to that. One of the topics of discussion that came up while we were out playing is what division should Chris play in next year? And I think, like you've been talking about it being almost 40 and next year being 40 eligible. And I think most people just assumed, cool, so MP 40. But that's not quite what you're thinking, is it?
It's definitely not what I'm thinking. I had a good chat to Daz about this again today as well. And I just shared a couple of texts with Matt Hill as well today at one point, talking about the same thing. And I'm eyeing off MA 40. And I guess my question for the listeners is what's a bigger case of sandbagging? If I was to just obviously I'm now the shittest player in MPO. We've covered this a couple of times now. But if I was to just call and be like, all right, cool, I'm going to play MA1 now. And obviously I wouldn't get close in MA1. I'd be happy with a chase card situation in MA1. What's more sandbagging? Me dropping to MA1 now or me dropping to MA40 next year?
Well, that's not even a close argument. MA40 next year, you'll be the monster sandbag. You'll win every event. It's a big, like, watch what Taren's done once he snuck in. These age-protected divisions, when you are barely eligible for them, you start smoking the field. And then it dips off pretty dramatically because you've got a decade of decline. So you're going in at a higher ceiling than Taren went in, and Taren wins everything. So you'll win every event. Let's just say that.
Well, and that's the other part of the conversation is, like, I'll win every event. That might be one event, with like a second kid on the way. I don't know. So yeah, where I'm sitting is, I don't know how much I'll be playing from here on in. And it just cost me, you know, for small events you can get away with a $30 extra, but anything bigger than a small event, I'm like at least another $50 in the hole. And I'm like, well, what am like? Do I really care about this cash? Like, can I just play for cheap?
Yeah, no, I got no problem with it all. I think MA1's a better speed for you, but you'll have to figure out yourself. I think if you looked at your scores and MA1 scores in a lot of the things we play, especially if you're not going to play a lot of the big ones anymore, then mate, you don't need to drop to MA40. But you do you. That'd be fine for me if you did, because then that's one more person that won't beat me. So that'd be sweet, but. Interesting. Let Chris know what do you think he should play next year. I've already told you he should just start jump to MA1 now, but you're like, I've got like eight months left, or not even. Like, I'll just tough it out.
And I've got like one major left. Like, I'll play this. I'm not going to do nationals or anything. So this is my last big event. Might go out with a win, you know?
Maybe.
Eruption will be a hard no.
Okay, fair enough. There you go.
Yeah, I think I'll struggle. Once this second dude arrives, I'm in trouble.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you, before we got on, you'd said, did I watch Parks Clubhouse? And I said, yeah, I did. Tuned in on whatever it was, last night maybe?
Wednesday?
Wednesday now? Monday or Tuesday, one of them.
At school.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I tuned in. It was great. And I was like, I've got the, you know, Beyond Parked written down here. And you're like, I don't know what that is. But like, did you watch the intros? I said, no. Like, I got, like, he goes, you watched from the start. I said, no, when I got on, Ash was introducing Maddie or something like that. You're like, go to 3:20. So I haven't really seen this yet, but sounds pretty good. So I've got it up here. This is 3:20 on Parked. This is copyright infringement, so we might get in trouble for this. This might be the end of our pod, but hopefully not. But this was the start of Parked Clubhouse yesterday or the day before.
You know, Australian disc golf's charging ahead. The amateur scene's charging ahead, at least. So more on that later. But I did want to send a shout out first and a congratulations to our friends over at Frollers, boys. I know we don't like to talk about them too much. They like to talk about us a lot.
Heaps.
But we credit where it's due. Congratulations. For those of you that don't know, Throllers is a Melbourne-based disc golf podcast. Alan Brunstein and Chris Ronalds talk about disc golf and other things weekly. And they recently, boys, made it to 100 episodes.
Massive.
What? 100 episodes.
Look at us go.
That could be worth a rocket, Jace.
That is impressive. It really is.
They grind.
It is really, it's impressive. I mean,
I'm sitting in my bed right now.
I think I did the stats here. You can find them on Spotify and verify this, but I think the episodes get listenable around episode 24 if you want to go back and do the listen. You can also, if you're a completionist, you can safely skip 6 episodes a year, so about 3 episodes before they go away on their boys' weekend and play the Who Gives a Fuck Cup, and about 3 episodes after it when all they talk about is their little boys' weekend where they play the Who Gives a Fuck Cup. But for the rest of the time, those boys are talking about the Melbourne disc golf scene, talking about the Australian disc golf scene. They're starting to get into some issues. They do their research, they do their numbers, so good on you, boys.
We love your work, Throllers. Well done. What you've been able to produce is absolutely sublime.
Yeah, phenomenal, big. Very distinctive vocal patterns of the Throllers being emulated there.
No, we love the Throllers.
We do love the Throllers.
Oh, that's good. I love that. I missed that. I'll have to play the rest of it for myself.
It's an entire potty's worth almost just in the shout out.
That's so. I must have missed it by like 30 seconds then, because come on, they were still doing the intro. So. That's really awesome. I'll have to play the rest of that. Thanks heaps to the park guys. Love that. Good shout out. Love that they gave a shit too. That was very nice. That was good.
Yeah.
what I thought you were talking about was Be On Parked. So you can win a chance to be on the feature card for the Vic Open and be filmed and commentated on by Parked Media. So you don't need to be some elite NPO snob, mostly because there aren't any in the field, I don't think. But anyone who donates to their GoFundMe page to help them, sort of get what they need to make the Vic Open happen, if you donate $40 or more, I think it is, then you go into the running to be selected on it. Now, I've already done it. I'm very keen. I think one of my better rounds was the very first time that Parked filmed anything, and they filmed MA1 feature card, which I was lucky enough to be on, and it was one of the better rounds I ever played in Ballarat. So I am hoping that I get selected, and it'll be one of the better rounds that I ever play in Bendigo. So get on board that, support them. They do great work. We like watching their coverage, so why not try to be on it? And support it. Make sure they can actually get there.
It's minimum $40. Don't stop there. Send it, fully send it. They deserve it. I look forward to seeing who gets on there. We're talking about it at Bendigo today, actually. And I was like, it's going to make for great coverage. And hopefully it makes for a little bit of banter. You know, they have the capacity to mic up.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Depends who it is.
Yeah, it depends who it is, but come on.
This is fun.
This is fun. NPO take it way too seriously.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
No, me too. Great initiative by them. Very good idea. And I'm sure well received. The last I checked, which was a couple of days ago now, or even yesterday probably, it was at $800 already.
So good.
They've got plenty of people getting up and about, and plenty of people donating more than the minimum. So great work to everyone who has, and get on. I think it'd be sick. Like, when am I ever going to get a chance to get back on that? So cool. Very exciting.
Sorry. I would, but I'll be on coverage round 2 anyway.
Yeah, it's it. Why waste the money, you know? I've got written on the run sheet, Australia's fittest disc golfer.
I saw this.
And this was an idea that came to me, and I thought it was a great idea, and the more I thought about it, I thought it was a terrible idea. So we won't do it, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. So I had, I was playing with Tommy Janker on the weekend, and he was asking about the 1,000-pound club. I told him that I did not hit the 200-kilo deadlift because that is just too heavy for me, I guess. So I did not reach the 1,000-pound club, and I can't remember what he was saying, but he's got a nice home gym in his house, and he was lifting some heavyweights. He's doing some big boy numbers. And then I played with Parrish as well the very next day. And then he was saying how it inspired him to have a crack to see what he's sort of at. And he did himself a very heavy squat. He's pumping out 160 kgs on the squat. And then he sent me, I said something about, I'm pretty sure Ryan Marcel's strong as fuck. And lo and behold, later that day, he sends me Ryan Michelle's most recent Instagram post where he deadlift 250 kilos, which is fucked. It's so, that's so strong. It's really, really impressive. He picks it up well too. Like, he's not just wrenching his back. He's done a good job. Then I was talking to Matt Mutter and he was saying about how he used to put up some pretty good numbers as well. And it had me thinking, I'm like, maybe we should try to figure out Australia's fittest disc golfer. And I know that you're not much of a weightlifter, but you're quite a handy runner, do it a fair bit, get on the bike as well. So I was like, maybe we should just put it out there and then see what people think would be characteristics of Australia's fittest disc golfer and have however many, you know, 6, 8, 10 events, and then have people submit their best efforts for it throughout the next few months or something like that. And I was like, that'd be great. That'd be cool. We'll have a nice little fun comp. And then I thought like 6 people might do it. And then I just thought that might not be that interesting. So,
there's a lot of people who are into their fitness in disc golf in any way, shape or form. I ran into Blake Nichols today.
Mm-hmm.
A fraction of the former Blake Nichols that I formerly met.
Oh, okay.
An absolute fraction. That man was lean. He has not seen, he's skin folds in the negatives.
Skinnies.
Negative, yeah. Skin folds right now.
Oh.
Yeah. So that man, he just runs a marathon for fun, I think. And looked like, yeah. And obviously Joel Payton, is known to have a rig.
Very.
There is a lot of fitness.
Well, maybe we'll put it out there then. So if you think you're interested, then send in some messages on some events or disciplines you think should go into it. If you've got an idea, if you think how many different types of events, send me some thoughts. Maybe I'll put something together and put some feelers out. If it gets a bit of momentum, we can put it on Disc Golf Shenanigans and see how many of our interstate friends are keen. And we'll do a little bit of a state of origin or something. We'll figure out who Australia's fittest disc golfer. And I'm going to have to start running then if I want to compete.
I'm imagining like a Tough Mudder of disc golf here.
That'd be pretty cool.
Something between each hole.
I reckon Deiros could get pretty excited about this.
He would froth right up.
I tell you what though. So this put what Ryan Michelle did in perspective. That 250 kilos, he picked up what I imagine would probably be 4+ Ryan Deers. there was like 4 Ryan Deers on the ground, and Ryan Michelle was like, I'll pick him up. It's very good. It's very good. I was very impressed.
It is very good.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea. Maybe even my everything I do is gold.
Everything you touch is gold, Alan.
All right, speaking of which, Bald Hill Social Day on the weekend. That was actually a very nice segue. Mostly because I dominated. I don't know about dominated, but it was a from the scores you can tell that the conditions were pretty treacherous. I mean, what else could it be? what do you expect on a nice day would be the winning score in Div 1 at Bald Hill?
13.
Yeah, so clearly it wasn't a nice day. It was rain, wind, hail. It was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous day. I played all right, and apparently all right was good enough to have the top overall score.
You did play well. You like, isn't your PB like -9?
I think it might be 10.
Okay, yeah.
I think it might
so
be
you're
10.
Only well, a couple eight, of yeah, shots off your PB. It could be 9, so I can't remember. You did play well, but Chris Scott, Penn, Kalen, Ryan Deer.
Yeah, I went straight to Deiros as soon as I got there, and I said, what happened, mate? -5 for him might as well be +5. And he just said that he's changed up all his form. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. So still plenty of birdies, but the few bogeys, 4 bogeys, is not going to do much for you at Bald Hill. But yeah, Chris Scott, Penn, Kalen, and myself all with a 8. I did zero work on the back nine. I was even on the back nine and 8 down front nine. Just slapping the easy holes, I guess. But yeah, that was nice. I'll take that. It's my first social day win in a minute. I don't care if it's split between the four of them. So good for me. But yeah, Deros at 5. And yeah, no, nothing too special out of the rest of it. We'll come back to that.
Well, you've got Brett Siebel and Zolt, who I'm pretty sure are both Div B.
Mm-hmm.
Coming overall second.
No, well, Brett's not. Brett's Div A.
Okay, Zolt's definitely Div B.
Yeah.
And so he's one shot off the outright win.
Yeah, from Zolt. Div B. Yeah.
were you guys doing?
When you put it like that. yeah, Zolt with a neg 5. He is two strokes clear of anyone else in Div B, though. But still, neg 5. Some very nice neg 5s for Chu Tran, Johnny Martin, and Glenn Ralston. So great work by them. So there was good scoring out there. It just wasn't done by Div A.
No.
And then Div C, we had Kim Michelle right on top, tied with Roland Weber on a plus 2, just sneaking out Anita Weber and John Kohler. So not bad shooting across the board there.
I feel like I haven't seen Anita's name in a minute.
Nah, me either. So good to see her back in action. I saw her name down for the Beyond Parked thing, so maybe she'll get a sneaky spot on that. That'd be cool.
That would be.
I was playing with Tommy Jankow, as I mentioned. He's in the non-member section. He won that, but no one really cares about non-members. So he shot a neg 4. But, man, he was throwing nice. He was throwing some bombs, and his forehand's gotten good. Apparently, he'd just been injured, and it's coming up nice. So I'm not surprised he's winning majors and then following it up at other tourneys. But cooled off a bit with some putting in our round, but yeah, he was doing things. So we got to keep our eye on him, because we're gonna have to start giving him shit for being an MA2 soon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the overall handicap board there? What are we looking at?
Yeah, of course I do. We got Dolly, I believe, take it out with a bullet. Let's go back to the top here. Yeah, Dolly comes in with a handicap of 46, finishes on a raw 36. So that'll get it done.
Yeah.
Johnny Martin in next with a solid, like, neg raw 5 score.
Yeah, he's great.
Real good.
Great round.
Raw score, good handicap, gets it done. Mia Daniels finds herself in the top 4 there, and then you'll find Zolt to round out the top 5. Zolt did have a great round.
Yeah. Myself at 13th place, being the top scorer in the one division, not so good.
Yeah, but everyone else that shot that same score considerably lower than you.
Yeah, exactly, which is why Alan took out the Div Hey handicap. Let's go.
And yeah, there you go.
Got to use my gift voucher already on the new Tempo and, what's the name, Trail that came in with the club store.
I got a Trail.
Ah, let's go.
Yes, also spent some of my vouchers on a Trail.
That's beautiful. Johnny Martin, unsurprisingly, takes the Div B handicap. And Dolly, yeah, obviously taking Div C. Rob Hall taking the Div A CTP. Wayne Hood taking Div B. And Roland Weber taking Div C. So it was a nice day out there. I was happy with it. I think we have... Oh, before we do that, Alex has got some fun facts for us. So 8 rounds in, and we finally have a repeat winner on the social days. So Kalen has now 2 wins on the social day calendar, and everyone else is a 1-win bandit. Velotta, Howard, Ware, Ronalds, Stace Smith, Hardy, Lou, Brunsting, and Scott, all with 1 win. So Kalen, starting to set the tone. We'll have to check in on the leaderboard at some stage too to see how that's shaken out before we get to the halfway point of the year.
Do you skip over, not seeing like Bowen or Robinson or Ferguson there? I'm not seeing any Wiedners in that winningness list either, or Buckets.
Wiedners.
Is it just the Throwlers boys that are also winning this? Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where did you got a bunch of Geelong people and then did beat it. I was like, where are we going with this? But
I'm just saying, yeah. There's many strings to our bow.
That's
Alan.
True. These are frequent guests or contributors to our show. So yeah, there you go. There's something to it. Oh, love that. What else we have? We had Crater Lakes Classic on the weekend. Why don't I think it was? Oh,
no,
the Bald Hill Social Day.
No, Crater Lakes was 2 weeks ago. We've already spoken about it.
Why do I have that written on the thing? I just forgot to cross it out.
I thought you were going to throw like some sort of throwback for us.
Nah, I got nothing. No. Sweet. But what I do, man, we're so shit. What I do have is the Throwlers Guarantee. We had Throwlers Guarantee on the line this weekend. And your one was, no, so my one played out in the morning and your one played out in the afternoon. And it was a spicy one, my one. So I thought Chu has been a bit hot lately. So I put him up against a Div A member and you gave me a pretty nice score for him against Doug. And I had to jump on it. I wasn't expecting that score. I thought it was going to be a little closer. And once he gave me that number, I was like, 7. I was like, I'll have to take that. So I'm backed into the underdog against Doug, the Bald Hill Pest, which he's taken that nickname pretty well. And it was looking squirrely early. Doug started on the front 9 and Chu must have started on like hole 9 or something. And it was like -6 to 2 over straight away or something like that. And no good. But slowly but surely, Chu started getting a few birds. Birdie 18, which was big.
That was the biggest.
That was the turning point of the round.
Yeah. I saw that and it was like, I'm dead.
Yeah. Misses one. But by this stage, Doug's gone in and got a couple bogeys. He's bogeyed 11 and 12. So it's brought him down to 4 down. And he's got the final, 2, 4, 6 holes at Bald Hill to try to get some birdies, which tough. Tough to do out there. Oh, I didn't get any of them, I can tell you that. And then Chu goes bang, bang, 3, 4, and then really goes bang, gets the eagle on 5, which I think put him 1 ahead. So all he had to do, they put him tied with Doug. And then par 6, I'm getting a bit nervous, comes down to hole 7, whack, takes the birdie. He's got 8 to play, Doug's got 18 to play, that's all she wrote. Chu takes it down, -4 to -5, got out the pest control gear and wiped him off the floor.
I know, that hurts. 7 points going your way. I feel like I scored that up fairly. Doug had to be the favourite going into that. And, you know, Chu lives out in Melton. I had to give it to Doug. I don't regret my 7. I regret Doug playing badly.
Yeah. No, I think it was a lot. Yeah, Doug playing badly, that's funny. Yeah, I think it was been one of those ones that was like in between a 6 and a 7. And fortunately for me, you went the one way and I picked right.
Yeah. And we already know the result of mine, obviously, because I had we had Kalen to beat you by 3 or more strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And line at 2.5. And you have already touched on the fact that you took 100 points. So we can guarantee that Kalen did not beat you by 3 or more strokes.
Yeah,
so,
I think I said I'd get a 6 and he'd get an 8. So I gave you a 2.5. And he got the 8. But yeah, just a little better than that.
You did.
You're forgetting that last year when I submitted my scores for the, what's it called? The thing champs. At the end of the year, the champs, that I only had, the only rounds that I had that were above my metrics rating were at Bald Hill.
There you go.
All the others were below. And I took a pretty good dip last year. So that was the wrong course to do that on. Kalen messaged me right after and was just like, oh, you know, I think there's a bit more in this. Like, and I'm like, I know. I wasn't too worried. But yeah, happy day. So that brings me up to 31 and you stay on 29. So ouch. I have taken the lead, I think maybe the first time in this series. So huge.
Yep.
So no Crater Lakes Classic. So I guess we'll go straight and have a look at the Eagles Crossing. We don't normally touch on the go throw stuff, But the Eagles Crossing course was cool as shit. So I didn't actually get to see any of it. Did you check in a bit on the Eagles Crossing Masters Invitational such and such?
Yes, I did. I watched Ezra's and Goose's practice rounds, and I also watched a bit of the GoPro footage. It comes out. It's next day coverage on the GoPro channel. You can also watch the Chase Card coverage on Ace Pro, I believe it's called. I have not watched that, but I have watched a little bit of the lead card action, and that course is brutal. That course is brutal. I shared with you, what do you think the world champion would shoot on a course like that? And was it plus 14, I think he shot?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
Isaac
brutal.
Robson shot a plus 14 round one.
Oh, Jesus.
It's such a brutal course. I've started watching the Ezra, just before we started this podcast, I was watching Ezra's warm-up round for Kansas City Wide Open. Looks like they've done some sick shit there as well. So I'm looking forward to watching match play tomorrow morning when I get up. But they talked about why it's not yet on the Pro Tour. And essentially it's because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And there's no civilization nearby, and there's also, it's so much in the middle of nowhere, there's also like no phone reception, like there's no like easy good internet or anything, there would be like no live coverage in a current setup, and so yeah, there are ways away from being on the Pro Tour. There's a couple of missing puzzle pieces, but yeah, the boys can't froth it enough. Everyone that's played it, if you've seen any of the Instagram posts, which I know you're big on disc golf Instagram, Alan, everyone, like AB, Adam Hammers, just everyone is just like, was so good to play the best course in the world. Like, everyone just froths it.
Yeah, sick. I'll have to check out some of the coverage on my 10 days off coming up.
Yes, you will.
So who ends up getting the W?
AB.
2-day event, right? Just two rounds?
Yeah, two-day event, had an elite second round. It's not on PDJ, unfortunately, because it's an invitational. So I can share you some UDisc ratings if you like. UDisc shot a 324 rated.
Whoa, crazy.
minus seven. That did include a double bogey and three bogeys. The course is just brutal, but it did also involve a sick eagle. Yeah, and finished the event minus 10, jumped up three spots, come from fourth to first to get the W, three strokes over Gavin Rathbun, and five shots ahead of Adam Hammers, who also shot a minus seven and jumped up 12 spots.
Huge.
So, yeah, huge. But AB was on lead card coverage, so if you want to go watch someone dissect that course and shoot the course record by some ways,
sick.
I think the course record before that was minus three. I think he smashed the course record by four shots.
Wow. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I'll definitely have to check that out. Nice little payday, it says here. $7,500 as well. So, two-round event, $7,500. They can't be too mad at that.
No. Now, I know Ash just said that, you know, skip all of the Green Jacket episodes, but there's Green Jacket in our future that's at Eagles Crossing.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there if you're there.
Sweet.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely have to check that out then. I don't think we have too much more. Pretty of a quiet week, right?
Yes.
Next week will be the big one with the preview for the Vic Open.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing too much. I think I saw where there was one more pro on the Vic. I didn't write down to do the pro watch. So I forgot about that, but I think it was Snake, actually. Blakey boy.
Well, he dominated there today.
Okay, that's a good one to watch.
Yeah, he shot, well, I say dominated, he shot a really good round. He shot a minus six.
Oh, big. Oh, and we just brushed over Daz's round. I forgot about that. We were meant to have a chat about that.
Feature in my spotlight.
Gotcha.
But we'll just go there now. Played there with Daz. I've got plenty of spotlights up my sleeve, so I won't do this as a spotlight. Daz shot minus eight today with three bogeys. He 11 birdies on that layout is huge. And two of the bogeys that he had were just like primo lefty holes. So player B parked them. So it could have been gross, right? So he bogeyed, like what must be 15 downhill.
Yeah, golf green on the left.
Over this golf green on the left. He put it 40 long in the shit, right? 40 long in the shit on the left. And then, like, in his pitch, with his pitch out putter, he hit a bush and stayed at 20. And, like, he had no, there was no business bringing that bush into play. Player B put it to 2 meters.
Yeah, wow.
Then he bogeyed the next hole, which
that's
is
wild
like
too.
Such a beautiful lefty hole now. Yeah. Right? And so, yeah, they were his two of his bogeys. The other one he bogeyed, he missed the Mando on 3 on his second. And so that was his other bogey. But yeah, 11 birdies. And just, it's just, it was the fact that his bogey holes were also lefty holes that just made it even grosser. Because it could have been really, really, really big score. He also did a huge drive on 18. And then because he's playing completely blind, like not only is he playing the tournament layout blind, he's playing the whole course blind. And, you know, we don't get to play with that much elevation. He just leaves his approach short on 18, like leaves it at like 12 and like missed the putt. And it's just like, well, he's not doing that if he's playing the course blind. Like he knows he needs to give that second shot a bit more than what he did. And so he should have, because his drive was obviously monstrous, he should have easily birdied that. So, yeah, if you've got a big arm, you can absolutely dissect that course. It was pretty cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very exciting. Did it get him fired up to sign up for the Vic Open or not that far?
No, he was like, we were like 10 holes in. And he's like, I might just have to bust my phone out here and sign up. It was just like birdieing everything. Like he birdied 9 out of 10 holes at one stage. Yeah, it was crazy. I played well. Like, so I've got my PBs 3 under. I played well again today and shot 2 under. If I get somewhere between 3 under and +2, like on the week next weekend, I'll be thrilled.
That'll get you a win in MA 40.
Thank you.
That's cool. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, definitely forgot about that earlier when we were talking about the rounds. That was wild. His first time, he said he was never going to play Bendigo, and now he's probably regretting never playing Bendigo.
Yeah.
So, all right, should we do a bit of Throwler's Guarantee then? We do have disc golf this weekend. We have the Llewellyn Social Day. I would advise not including me in anything because I'm on the fence. I signed up because there was only 3 spots left.
good. You're not in my first run.
Okay. All right. Very nice. There's some good names though. Some big names.
There is, and I've got my eye on a couple of them in Div B.
All right, lovely.
I would love to take head-to-head, please. Score me up for Schloffel. he was going to feature in yours, was he?
Yeah.
Versus Joshua Quinn.
Okay. Interesting. Josh Quinn, he's going to be on my cart, so maybe I'll show up and put him off. wait, no, he's not, sorry.
And I wondered, you know what I was wondering, Alan?
Yeah.
As I was putting this together. Like if you do a head to head in Div A, I feel like you go like a 5-5 if you find the 2 match players.
Yeah.
I feel like if you go head to head in Div B or Div C, like I feel like it's better than a 5-5.
What are you fuck off? What are you angling at?
No,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, 6-6. It's such a wild card.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how the game works. I get what you're saying, but I don't know if we're ready for that.
Okay. I just checking.
I get it, because the chances of them backing up, like playing a rating are pretty low. Could be much higher or much lower.
Exactly.
I'm trying to figure out what your game is here, because I don't know anything about
there is nothing. Quinn. I was just like I wanted to just do something a bit different.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll give you 6 for Quinn and 4 for Zach.
Yeah, Quinn's worth a 7.
Okay. Right. What? How do you know that?
Well, he's just. I think like yeah, he's had like 1 round ever above his current rating.
Okay.
I did look at that. Every other rating's below it. Like, that's not an exaggeration. So he's had 1 rating above 840.
Mm-hmm.
Every other one is below that.
Okay.
Where, like, Schloffel does not meet that criteria. Schloffel has had a few above.
Take him with the 4 then, if you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I'll take Schlöffel at the four.
It's not gonna be loving. There's no. That's definitely not how you pronounce his name. But
you cleared it up for me. That's exactly how you say.
All right, lovely. All right.
And maybe the shush was longer. Schlöffel.
Well, you've got Zach versus Josh, and you're taking Zach for four.
Yeah, I need to get some points.
Yeah, four is the way to do it.
Yeah.
All right, what are we looking at then? How can I play this? I'm going to be playing on a card with Marcus Davies. So he's a wild card for sure because he's 10. So let's get Marcus involved somehow. What's him compared to the old man? Oh, it's not that far off. All right, let's look around. Oh, here we go. I like this. What would you give Marcus versus Spangenberg? I want a line.
All right, I've got you.
A line, because I'm assuming you don't think that's a 5-5.
Well, given that Spangers, it's not a 5-5. It's not a 5-5. Jesus Christ, this is hard to score up.
So I don't want a scores, I want a line.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. It's hard.
Gotcha.
Like he's gone. This is Marcus's last four rounds. 70 points above rating, 104 points above rating, 22 points above rating, 64 points above rating.
It's wild. It's wild.
So he has all of his last four rounds have been higher than Spanger's current rating.
Well, then you could say it's scratch.
I could say.
If you think that's what it is.
Marcus Davies scratch. Nah, I'm not giving you that. I'm not giving you that. I'm going to play a bit of your game here. Marcus Davies will win by 1.5 strokes.
That's big. All right. I don't like that. I don't want to take the kid.
It's a good line. I know you do.
I don't want to give.
It's 5-5. Take Spangers then.
I don't want to give Mike. Yeah, but I don't want to give him any strokes. interesting.
That's your 5-5 line.
5-5. 1.5. So Marcus, that's a beating by 2. The kid throws a lot of forehands there. I don't even remember the last time Mike played disc golf. Right? Am I crazy?
I could click on his name. He doesn't play that often, but he's been to a couple of league days.
All right.
He was.
I'll take it.
He's been to one 2025 league day, actually. He's only been to one.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you should.
I'll back the kid in.
You back the kid. You should. He's played once this year.
Marcus, the win by 2 or more over Spangers.
Yeah. Well done.
I honestly thought I was going to snake some the other way on you. It's like it was going to be an easy decision. nice. All right, sweet. That's our throws guarantee sorted. So we'll finish up with some spotlight, not light.
Yes, please.
I'll go. Just you said you got a lot, so just in case, I'm going with one of yours. So
you will be.
okay. Well, one spotlight that you probably don't know is an honourable mention here. That's Wayne Govan and his lovely partner had a child. I was messaging him yesterday, and he said, "Yes, sir, I'm just at the hospital because I had a kid." So, very nice. Well done there, Wayne. Congratulations.
Congrats, Wayne. That's huge.
But my other one, which potentially you probably have, is I was going to touch on just the musical aspect of our of the disc golf community. But if you got some in there, should I focus on Ruben? Or not?
Oh, you go for Ruben, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll put. There's must be more to come, obviously, giving from our socials. But we found out earlier in the week that Ruben Berg, 15 years ago, was lead singer of a band called Nemo, and this is their song. This might honestly be the end of it. This is a lot of infringement here, but copyright infringement. But this is "Dream Come True" by Nemo.
Doesn't know what to say. Where's my mosh pit at?
Where's my mosh pit at? Different vibes and mosh pits there, but it's not bad. It's not a bad little song. Dreams Come True by Nemo. That was Ruben on vocals there.
Yeah, how? Yeah, 15 years ago, man's a stud. And it's like the production quality in the film clip and everything.
It's good.
I might have to link it up on our socials so people can check it out.
Yeah, it's good. What about yours? What are your spotlights?
Yeah, so I don't know if you've got the audio button ready on this, but
I should have thought about that. Yeah, yes. No, I don't, but yeah.
But people can check it out. Our listeners will be very familiar with Bacanti Beans. He's teamed up with none other than Darren Staysmith. So Daz was going to feature a couple of times in my spotlight. And Daz put a rap together. Aaron's put the beat together. I think they're calling it... there was a name to the song.
Yikes.
Yikes, there it is. Yeah. It's called Yikes. Go check it out.
And it's, you know, that's just... Like, it's just Daz's audio from when he was filling in
on
for
our
you.
Pod.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, good. I was like, he actually laid down the rap.
No, familiar. I'm very familiar. Gotcha. I think he's spliced a few audio pieces. My guess was he's used that episode, but I thought he'd also maybe used a couple of our drunk pods.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's featured. It's a shame he didn't get Daz on that time he nodded during the podcast.
It's good though. It's got this to the whole. We've got our clip that you put on our socials, and I went on to Bacanti's actual page and checked out the whole thing. It's good. I love it.
It is. Yikes. It is great. Bacanti's a legend. Way too much time on his hands. That was an honourable mention. Already mentioned Daz. My actual spotlight, though, has to go to the generosity of the Glow Crew. Have you been across this?
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so Aiden Howard put up a Glow Roller, one of maybe the only Glow Rollers left on the left available to gift out to someone, and I think someone got a sick throw in and got gifted it, and they're stoked. Might have been Kaylin, actually.
It was.
So there you go. Kaylin's stoked because now he's got something to glow with. But actually, the spotlight has to go to Tim Ware. They've been talking about this for years. And Tim Ware just bit the bullet and went and bought magnetized lights to chuck on all the baskets for their glow rounds while they're out there playing. And that's huge by Tim, and that's huge for the crew. Bunch of legends. Well done, Tim Ware.
Sick. Nah, love that. That's really cool. My not light is something I found out on the weekend when I went to go to Bald Hill. I was like, I'll just stop at the bakery by the Woolies on the way in, get myself an egg and bacon roll with the barbecue sauce, like the hoisin sauce, and life would be great. And I get there and it is no longer. It is boarded up. Yeah, it's done. So my not light is that a very nice bakery is shut down and I'm very, very sad.
That is sad.
Yeah,
okay.
It's sad. I need to find a new egg and bacon spot on the way to social days.
I've got actually a half decent not light this week.
Sick.
What I was about to say is I feel like I've been light on with not lights the last few weeks.
Okay, good.
And not brought much to the team, but I'm bringing one this week. So, how long ago was Lake Diwa Cup?
2 weeks?
A couple of weeks at least,
yeah. Yeah, maybe three if it was, two or three.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago. How many NPO players do you think cashed?
Two.
Yeah, 2 or 3. And how many MP40 players do you think cashed?
One?
Nah, a couple did.
Okay.
A couple MP40, and it was like 3 or 4, I think, in the NPO might have cashed.
Okay.
Anyway, no cash received.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Two or three weeks post-event here, and got to hang out with the winner of the MP40 player today. And I thought, he might shout us lunch, given that he's a pro-time disc golfer that wins a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he said, I would shout you lunch, Chris. However, I have yet to receive payment.
Yikes. That's not ideal. It was the 22nd and 23rd of March.
Yes.
We're well into April. So, yeah, I think that's 3 weeks ago.
Oof. Yes. 3.5 weeks ago, no payment received. Andrew Ferguson, TD extraordinaire, has to cop my not light this week.
No, that's fair. It's that's very fair. The Bank of Geelong must just have they don't have Osco.
I don't know what any of that is.
Oh, you don't know Osco payments?
No.
It's just when the instant payments, they come up say Osco.
Oh, okay, yes. OSCO, yes. Osco, yes.
There you go. No, good. That's a good not light. I like that. Well, get on your shit, Fergie. What's going on? Right into the tee off. I think they're doing an episode soon.
Yes. Well, this is what I'm pretty proud of my not light about as well. They recorded, I think, like a couple of days ago, and I think this is going to feature significantly on their podcast. But because they edit for like 6 days, I got to release it early.
Nice. Oh, okay. I thought you were going with another thing, but they're going to give Fergie shit.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I think they're going to give Fergie shit, but I got to air it earlier.
Because I'm looking at it now. You got Paddy in second and Tim in third, just sitting there waiting for their cash.
Exactly.
That's good. I like that. I'm interested to look at that one, because they're going to talk about why there's no pros playing in the Vic Open.
Yes.
They got Clayton on and someone else on, I think, so... that'll be a good one. I'll have to tune into that.
Definitely.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's us, I think. Got anything
more? Nah, done.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.